Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to the Big Scottish Football Podcast, and it is episode 92. There's no Stephen Mill today. He is currently in Germany. I say he's in Germany. He's actually taken a couple of days to go and visit Liechtenstein. So he's actually in Liechtenstein before he goes back to Germany and heads to Cologne for the game against Switzerland on Wednesday. So we've drafted in some help for the show today. Please welcome to the Big Scottish Football Podcast former Scotland Celtic and Partick Thistle striker. What other clubs were there in Scotland?
Dunfermline. What did you say there, Partick? Dunfermline and St Johnstone.
St Johnstone. And the teams in England?
Sheffield Wednesday.
Was it just the one in
just
England?
One, yep,
all right.
Just one, yeah.
Is that your entire career?
That is indeed, yes.
Is that all the clubs you ever played for?
Yes.
What did you play for before Celtic?
Oh, sorry, I was at Queen's Park briefly, but never played for the first team.
Oh, did you not?
No. So I was only there about 6 months.
Ah, okay then. It's the one and only Mr. Simon Donnelly. We're on the plus Simon Donnelly.
Good day. Hello.
Yes, Simon Donnelly is here. How you keeping?
I'm all right. I'm still trying to get over
Friday night.
Friday night. I think, like everybody else in the nation.
Aye.
Disappointing.
Shite, wasn't it?
Well, let's say that. Yes, it was a little bit embarrassing.
Yeah. Pish. Shite. What word would you use to describe Friday night? And
More polite, but I put in the group text underwhelming.
Underwhelming?
Yes.
That's a bit too kind, that word.
Yes.
So Simon Donnelly is here with us. It's a Big Scottish Football Podcast. It's brought to you by Scotty Brand and their brand new beetroot chips. These are superb.
Beetroot. I like beetroot, but.
Yeah,
I'll need to try these.
Do you know the thing is though? That's the reaction that most people go beetroot chips, and then when they try, they're like, "Oh, love them!" So yeah, beetroot chips. You can get them in three flavors: Thai sweet chili, lime and coriander, and cheese and onion. All three are spectacular. They are superb and brilliant with a bottle of beer, a cold bottle of beer, and then
need to try them Wednesday night.
Wednesday night for the football, 100%. You can get them at Morrison's now. Making them your first pick while you're watching the Scotland games by picking up a packet or two at your local Morrison's. Yes, you can get them in Morrison's. I think they're exclusive for Morrison's. And later on, we'll be playing our very own crisp game called Crispy and Ericsson.
I can't wait.
Producer John comes up with these names, Crispy and Ericsson. We'll be playing the game shortly.
What about him scoring yesterday? What a story that was.
That was a great story.
Brilliant.
And a good wee goal as well.
Brilliant.
And if you actually do well in Crispy and Ericsson, you'll get to take home a couple of bags of beetroot chips.
Right.
Take them home to the kids. So thanks as always for your correspondence, by the way. We loved your feedback, whether it be on YouTube or Twitter or Facebook. Let's get to some of your correspondence from last week's podcast. Ewan said a few, possibly more, weeks ago on here that Adams was our best striker. I then heard them on Clyde Super Scoreboard saying that Shanklin was better than Adams. I have no idea how Stephen puts up with this tadger. Just kidding, Ewan. Love you. Now, what I would say is that I thought that Adams is a better all-round player in the sense of he's got a bit more pace, a bit more about him, can get around and press.
But you reckon Shanklin's a better finisher?
But I think Shanklin's a better goal scorer.
Yeah.
If you could combine Adams and Shanklin as one player, what a player we would have.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, and I can see why Adams started the other night, because he's more mobile than Shanklin.
But he didn't do nothing.
But we didn't. He didn't have anything to feed off.
No,
he really didn't. We couldn't get up the pitch.
Super Diesel Steven. No, sorry, his name's Super Diesel. Super Diesel. Steven? Do you get a carer's allowance for looking after Ewan on a Monday while his wife gets on with the things in the house?
You're getting a bit of stick.
Just a wee bit. My evil twin. Here's one for Ewan. If Goofy and Pluto are both dogs, why does one walk on two legs and the other on all four? So the Disney characters, Pluto and Goofy, they're both dogs.
Yeah.
Why does one walk on four legs and the other walk on two?
You're asking me.
I mean, that's a really good question. I've never thought about that one before.
Who's the one that walks on two?
Goofy,
yeah.
And Pluto's the one that walks on four.
Yeah, I've seen both.
Can you explain that one to me, Producer John?
Euro Disney.
Well, Goofy's not, I believe, an anthropomorphic or whatever it is, dog. So he's not actually a proper dog. But Pluto is a dog.
I have no idea what that word means, right?
It's anthropomorphic.
Right, got you. Okay, so that's the official explanation as to why Goofy walks and Pluto doesn't. That's what you're telling me. It's something to do with...
It's not the first time I've considered this question myself once.
Have you?
Yeah, let me just get
what sad life you lead, my friend, if you've considered Goofy. That question before.
The question is Goofy actually a dog? Because
Goofy is a dog.
Goofy speaks, doesn't he?
No, but Goofy is a dog.
So, I know, but...
here we go. Goofy is an American cartoon character created by Walt Disney. He is a tall, anthropomorphic dog. Which means it's a almost human-like dog,
okay,
as opposed to Pluto, who's an actual dog.
Amazing. Yeah, thank you for that.
Thanks,
thanks for that question, evil twin. Dungannon Red should just let clubs' channels stream to UK viewers, pointless excluding UK and Ireland. Would rather give the money to the club. What was that about again? What were we discussing last week that we got that point?
Remember we were talking about the TV deal last week, Ewan?
Oh, yes.
So this is the suggestion that clubs should, you know, they get rid of this Sea of Cork streaming rule on a Saturday.
Yes.
But then you... Who's
and make more money from
people
it.
People aren't going to turn up at the games then, are they?
What do you think? Get rid of the rules for 3 o'clock kickoffs for streaming? You can pay for it online? Or did you think that would stop people from going to the game?
I think the constant request for people to pay for different things is...
It's going through the roof, isn't it?
It's ridiculous.
It is,
if you want
it?
To see... games, and even the national team were on, was it Premier Sports?
Aye, yeah.
So
there's
I think that's a lot to ask.
Yeah. From John Lowe, afternoon. I have a movie recommendation for you. Godzilla Minus One. It's the best Godzilla movie ever. I have ever seen. And I've seen everyone, says John Lowe. Godzilla Minus One. Have you seen that, Simon Donnelly?
I have not. I'm old school with the Godzillas, the black and white ones.
Oh, yeah. I've got a recommendation as well of something that I watched at the weekend. And this is on Netflix. It only arrived on Netflix last week. How to Rob a Bank. It's a documentary.
Right.
How to Rob a Bank. It's an hour and 40 minutes long.
Good.
It's a story of a guy who lived in a treehouse, who robbed 19 banks... and got $3.2 million from the 19 banks that he robbed in the 1990s.
In the 1990s?
True story.
Wow.
True story.
It.
A boy
it.
Who
Netflix.
Lived... Netflix. Netflix. How to Rob a Bank. It's phenomenal.
The so story it's a bit like kind of Catch Me If You Can type character.
No.
No?
No. See how he does it.
No, I don't need to watch it.
I can't say too much without giving it away.
Right, okay,
but it's a true story.
It.
It's real life footage, and it's speaking to the people behind the scenes, the people who worked in the banks, the police that chased them down, the FBI that got involved, his accomplices who helped him steal the money and rob banks. Inside jobs and all that stuff, and tellers and all that stuff. It is phenomenal. How to Rob a Bank. On Netflix, out last week. Great story, and that's all I'm going to say about it. So I recommend that. And John Lowe is recommending Godzilla Minus One, which is also available on Netflix as well. Right, should we do the football?
Let's do the football.
Should
we have
the
to?
Football?
Yep.
We will do the football, and it is painful to relive what happened on Friday night, but let's do this. The game, Scotland won... Host nation Germany 5, biggest win of an opening game at a Euros, 94% passing accuracy for Germany, 43 attacks, 19 attempts, 655 passes completed to Scotland's 193. They also covered 9 kilometres more than their beleaguered opponents. Germany ripped us apart. It was 5 going on 10. Here's what Stevie Clark, the Scotland manager, and the players had to say after the game.
Difficult night. Obviously, we didn't play to our standard, and I thought the German team were excellent. Disappointed. Feel as though we've let ourselves down. We're better than that. We're a better team than that than we showed tonight, and hopefully we can show that in the next 2 games. So we have to go away. This is always going to be a tough night for us to get something. We need 4 points from the next 2 games, and that's what we focus on. The game ran away from us very quickly. Obviously, conceding the third with the sending off as well was always going to make it a difficult night. After that, it was about damage limitation and seeing what we could get. Second half, I thought the boys gave everything they could. They worked ever so hard to try and keep the scoreline reasonable. But we have to move on from this one, and we have to move on quickly.
We got to a stage where we were competing against these teams, getting closer. But tonight we were back to seeing that sort of gap, which is slightly worrying for ourselves. But we know we're capable of closing that gap, and we need to get back to what we were doing before. Obviously, we had an amazing achievement getting here, but we wanted to be the team that goes one further, qualifies for the group. We've still got a chance to do that. Can he really dwell on this game at this level? We'll have a couple of days, obviously, to analyse it, and then it'll have to be full focus on Switzerland. Of course, we've got regrets because of the scoreline, the man of the game, not even having a shot on target. So for our own professional pride, that we're certainly dented, and there's regrets for that. But we've got a chance on Wednesday to make amends for it, and hopefully we can do that.
I'm sure everyone in there has been on the end of a tough defeat at some point, so football's full of ups and downs. It's how you react from that, and that's what defines us. And we've had bad results in the past and came back from it, so there's no reason why we can't go out and do it again. Yeah, I think we believe, because we knew this game is not going to qualify or not qualify us. These next two games are so important, and that's the message that the managers gave us after the game. It's about the next two games, and it's believing that we can do it. And I know we've got the quality and the squad in there to go on and do it and to give a better account of ourselves, for sure.
Stevie Clark, the Scotland manager, John McGinn and Kieran Tierney speaking to the media after the 5-1 drubbing to Germany. I ranted and raved about Stevie Clark on Twitter, to the point where Sky Sports phoned me up to ask me to go on and chat about it, but I was working so I couldn't, on Saturday. And Mark Saggers from Talk TV also contacted me to come on his show, but I couldn't because I was working. The rant and the raving of Stevie Clark and his setup, his pragmatic approach has had something like close to 1 million impressions. And I'm just going to stick by what I think of Stevie Clark. I think he's far too pragmatic and defensive in his style. And I know a lot of people are saying, oh, the players are going to take some responsibility, which I kind of agree. But at the end of the day, they're following the manager, the head coach's instructions. And I think he got it wrong, not the players.
I think everybody got it wrong. But I know...
Who carries the can?
Well...
Is it a 50-50 split between the players and the management team?
Listen, I've been both sides. I've been a coach and I've been a player. Both sides have to take responsibility. I don't think Steve Clark said to his players before he went out, go and sit in and give them all that time. I think that developed quite quickly in the game. Those players, your Wirtz, your Musialas, Gundogan.
See, players. I'm sorry. I know you've been in a dressing room. I know you've worked with some of the best managers that we've ever produced. Listen,
See, from the start of the game, though, we all sat and watched the start of the game. We couldn't string two passes together.
I thought the boys looked as if
it was the occasion. I mean, we've listened to a few of them there. We know they're better than what they performed like the other night, but they didn't look as if they were. It was a lack of belief. I'm not sure what it was.
I thought we were too rigid. I thought we were far too rigid.
Yeah.
Callum McGregor was getting no help whatsoever, and he was surrounded by absolute quality.
Yeah.
Wirtz was dropping deep. Havertz was dropping deep.
They were causing havoc.
He had Gundogan in there. And then he had the three in front of him of Christie, McTominay and McGinn, who didn't lay a glove on anybody and were just filling space. It looked as though we were filling space and trying to contain. Mm. And I thought the back five were rigid and were scared to come out and press. And so McGregor was left isolated. Yeah. And I know what you're saying, and you'll know better than me being a former professional footballer, but I thought we set up our stall from the first minute to just sit in.
Yeah.
That's come from the manager. That's not the players in the first minute.
I think that can come from the opposition as well.
Pressing you?
Yeah, pushing you back, forcing mistakes. As I say, from the start, I've not seen a performance like that for a long time for Scotland, because we spoke before the show there. They've had some heavy defeats recently, the Dutch game, but they actually had periods of the game where they played well. And the roof kind of fell in towards the end against the Dutch. The French at times. The other night, I don't remember us having any passage. The free kick that led to the own goal was the only thing. We had nothing else.
We didn't have a corner.
It was baffling.
It was baffling. Listen, there's been a lot of talk about you starting 11. And a lot of the fans and pundits were shocked that Gilmore didn't start, because what we need in a game like that against Germany is somebody who can hold on to possession and make things happen and get us moving. Gilmore didn't start, and fair play to you. You were one of the pundits.
I said on Wednesday, but I'm not going to sit here and go, you know.
But you did.
I know, I said on Wednesday, because I like him as a player and I think he's brave. I don't think that would have changed much, because you need his teammates round about him. I mean, John McGinn, who's been absolutely brilliant for Scotland, one of his quietest games
ever.
ever.
I thought McTominay was like a ghost.
Yeah, it just, there was something.
Is there something just fundamentally wrong from the get-go? And I can't quite put my finger on it. And I know it's maybe an easy target to go after Stevie Clark, but he is the man who sets the team up. He tactically instructs the players what they can and can't do and the way that he wants to play.
It's more than a cliche to say, see, once the guys go on the pitch, they have to take some sort of responsibility. And I thought they froze. It looked as if Scotland froze. When did Germany get the first goal?
10 minutes.
That makes it even, you know, it just went from bad to worse.
Let's hear from Roy Keane, who was working for ITV, and this is what he had to say after the comments of Andy Robertson at 90 minutes.
Andy Robertson spoke at the end of the game, said they had a game plan. It's one and good having a plan. He said then we weren't aggressive enough. You have to be aggressive in a game of football. When you're up against opposition, you're much stronger than you. Being aggressive is part of a footballer. Well, I love watching skillful players. Absolutely love it. And the talent we saw with the German players tonight, because they were given time, is great to watch. But my goodness, when you're playing football at this level, you've got to hit people. Hit them properly, hit them aggressively, do it in the right way. If you step off against them, like Scotland did tonight, and it's no good talking after the game, we had a game plan, it's rubbish. Andrew Robertson, it's all just rubbish coming out. You knew before the game what was at stake. And after the game, it's no good going, we'll regroup and we'll be angry tomorrow. No, you should be angry for a long time. They spoke before the game about creating a history. They're creating a history, all right, by playing as bad as that.
He said, Andy Robertson, that we had a game plan. To me, the game plan was to set off. That's what I think he was hinting at. We had a game plan, but then Souness was saying it, Alan Shearer was saying it, Danny Murphy was saying it, Micah Richards were saying it. They watched the game, every single one of them. All the pundits on the BBC and ITV were all saying, I couldn't see what the plan was.
No. They obviously would have a game plan, but I think it goes out the window after 10 minutes.
But the game plan wasn't even there in minute one.
Listen,
Simon.
But you said it yourself, maybe it was to contain and try and frustrate.
Aye.
The Germans didn't look as if they hit the ground running straight.
But they did their homework, because Scotland, I think, are very predictable now in their setup. That 5-1-3-1. And what they did was they put the four players in behind McGregor and our midfield three. But the thing is, though, why was Clark not proactive? Seeing the issues that you could see in the first 10 minutes, that the fans watching could see in the first 10 minutes, at 1-0 he didn't change it, at 2-0 he didn't change it, at 3-0 it's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't proactive in maybe switching something, or maybe even changing a formation slightly, or maybe putting someone in beside McGregor to help him out. Yeah. I just found
We don't know, but as far as Roy Keane is concerned there, he's absolutely right. We weren't competitive in any way in the game. We weren't competitive.
Angus Gunn, should he have done better with the first goal in particular?
I think he should have, yeah.
Should he have saved that?
I think he should have, yeah.
The fifth goal, there's a lot of talk about the fifth goal as well. Should he have saved that, the Emery Chan shot?
Yeah, I think that one comes through bodies, but the first one, he gets a hand to it. I think he'll be frustrated himself with that one. I think that goes around the post.
He talks about being aggressive. Ryan Porteous was certainly that. He deserved his red card.
Yeah.
No doubt about it for you?
Absolutely no. As soon as it happened, I knew it was going to VAR. I could tell by the way Gundogan reacted to the tackle. I said straight away, that's a penalty, and that will also be a red card.
And Ryan Porteous was trying to trick the referee with his theatrics, right, rolling around and holding on to his leg and everything.
I'm not here to... Ryan Porteous has done all right for Scotland, I think, in different games.
But he's got that in him.
He's got that little bit in him. He's went down to Watford, and you talk about the maturity, but he's got that wee bit in him. And as soon as that tackle was made, I knew what was coming.
Who replaces him? That's the big question. We'll get to that in just a second. But we've got Switzerland on Wednesday night. We need a dramatic change from what happened on Friday. Who does he actually start? Does he change it completely? Does he change the setup? Does he change the formation? Does he change the mindset? For me, I think he has to. He has to change it, because I think we are now becoming very predictable. I hate the back five, and I think the reason we have a back five, because he has to shoehorn in Tierney and Robertson on the left, and that's why we do have a back five. So I think he'll still stick with Tierney and Robertson on the left, but what I would do, this is what I would do, and you're going to probably laugh at this, but I would go with a 3-5-2. And I'd go with Gunn, Hendry, Hanley, Tierney, and then a midfield five of Robertson, McGinn, Gilmore, McTominay and Forrest. And then I'd have a front two of Shanklin and Adams, with Shanklin just dropping off because he's a good footballer and he could come on to crosses coming in from a Robertson or a Forrest, and he could be the link-up man with him and Shea Adams because he is a goal scorer, and you've got that solid midfield three of McTominay, McGinn and Gilmore.
I don't dislike that. I actually was thinking about James Forrest when I scribbled my team down. I've not got him in, but my change would be, and would they go to a back four? The only reason I'm looking at all the other teams, Ewan, in this competition. I've seen all the games and they've all got bodies forward. We didn't get a chance to get bodies forward the other night.
Look at Albania. Did you see Albania against Italy?
Yeah.
I mean, they are a Donnarumma hip away from a 2-2 draw.
Yeah.
And their three players pressing high on the Italian defence.
Yeah.
I watched Slovenia against Denmark. Both nations, by the way, are higher than Scotland in the rankings.
Yeah.
I thought Slovenia were superb. I thought Albania were great, despite losing by 2-1. And I think Scotland should be looking to those games. I thought Switzerland were excellent against Hungary.
That's the concern for me.
They were great in the first half. I mean, they were so fluid in their movement, their passing. Their centre-halves were stepping into the midfield to fill behind. They've got pace as well.
They've got pace.
Particularly up front.
The boy, Xhaka, in the middle of the park, the best I've seen him play. He had a great season with Leverkusen.
Yeah.
He was pulling the strings. Akanji at the back, strolled it.
Yeah.
Hungary came back into that game.
Second half.
Both teams look aggressive, quick, athletic.
Yes.
And
so that's why I was looking at it. We Adams up top, Shanklin just in behind him, and Forrest and Robertson flying down either flank. With Gilmore sitting in front of the back three.
Read your team again then.
Gunn, Hendry, Hanley, Tierney. A five of Forrest, Gilmore, Robertson, McTominay, McGinn, Shanklin and Adams.
No McGregor.
No McGregor. I'm not blaming him for what happened the other night there, but I think we don't need a McGregor and Gilmore who are similar types of players. No. What we need is a McTominay who's a goal threat at set pieces. We need McGinn who can get us a goal, and we need Robertson and Forrest to deliver the crosses for Shanklin and Adams. And I need Adams to do the donkey work for Shanklin to pick up the loose pieces. Yeah. That's the way I would look at it. No, I mean, personally, I'd love a back four, but he's going to still stick with Tierney and Robertson. So if that's the case, go with a 3-5-2.
I still think the back four, you could play Tierney and Robertson, though. So I've got my back four down there. I would maybe push the likes of Hendry to the right, Hanley, Tierney, Robertson, and then I would fill my midfield with what I think the best players are, whatever formation it is, and it would be Gilmore, McTominay, McGinn, McGregor,
right.
Four. And then my strikers, I've got question marks on a piece of paper here, Adams and Shanklin.
Yeah.
And try and get McGinn as close to them and have that as your kind of three going forward. You've got McTominay, Gilmore, and McGregor, who you'd
sitting in.
Like to think would be able to control some sort of midfield and a back four.
Yeah,
I like
Hendry right back. I mean, I suggested that a couple of weeks ago. I mean, because he has played there before. I think he played there. Did he not play there at some point with Celtic? And was it Copenhagen he was at?
I can't remember.
Sure. But yeah, Hendry can play right back.
I just think that then you've got your middle three there. Get McGinn further forward.
Aye.
Where he scored goals for us.
Yeah,
and put the other two strikers in. And listen, if we're going to go out fighting.
Go out! All guns blazing.
I watched the. You'd have probably noticed it yourself. Even in the living room when I was watching the game, we all cheered when Scotland scored the other night. The fans all cheered.
I know.
And then start singing. You're not singing it. Let's give the fans something. You know, a meaningful goal.
But here's the thing, though. Scotland, I think, when you look back at the history of Scotland in opening games and major tournaments, 1978, we lose to Peru.
Yeah.
I can't remember what we did. And then in 1982, we beat New Zealand by 5-2.
Yeah,
the 86, goals. We lose. No, 86, what happened in 86?
86
Denmark, we lose 1-0. We lose 1-0. Remember, it was 1-0 game. And then we get beat by Germany 2-1 in the second game and draw 0-0 with Uruguay in the third. 1990 opening game, Costa Rica. We lose 1-0. 96 at the Euros, we draw with Holland 0-0. Then 98 opening game, Brazil unlucky to lose by 2-1. And then the Euros there, we'd lose to, what was it, Czech Republic?
Yeah,
Czech Republic.
Scored for the halfway line.
So we've not been great, but what we have done, we've turned up in the second game.
Yeah.
So could Lightning be about to strike again for Scotland in that second game and we turn it around? As long as we don't lose the game,
yeah,
it comes down to a cup final with Hungary a week, well, which, on Sunday.
Listen,
which you'll take right now.
I would take it. I would take that right now.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the negative Norman that you spoke about the other night, but watching Switzerland and Hungary, I think, you know, they're two decent sides.
They are decent.
I would say the Swiss more so than the Hungarians.
If we lose on Wednesday night, we're out. Because even if we beat Hungary, our goal difference is going to kill us now. I think the goal difference is going to kill us. So even a win against Hungary ain't going to get us through as one of the best third place.
There's a way. Go and have a go.
I think he has to change it. He has to give the nation what they want. We have to go and take the game to Switzerland. If not, we're going to get beat.
Yeah.
And if you're going to get beat, at least get beat fighting.
Try
to be competitive and creative.
Pose problems for the opponents.
Do you see Scotland getting out the group? As it stands right now, Simon Donnelly on the big Scottish football podcast, no. Are Scotland getting out the group?
No.
You don't see
it? I hope I'm wrong.
What do you think's going to happen over the next two games?
I think the Swiss will be too good for us.
Uh-huh.
And I think we might get something out there.
Because that'll be a nothing game then, really. Because I expect Germany to beat Hungary at 5 o'clock on Wednesday.
And I hate to say it. It's just the first game's kind of knocked me back with the optimism.
And how good Switzerland were against Hungary.
I was impressed with the Swiss.
Yeah.
I really was.
So if Scotland are not getting out of this group, does Stevie Clark keep his job after this tournament, if you're correct?
I think he'd be under pressure.
Do you look for a new manager? If you're the president of the SFA,
I think if he doesn't get out the group, yeah, possibly.
What you made
again? I hope I'm proved wrong. I hope we're sitting here next week.
Yeah,
out the group.
But
the only thing for me at the moment is if I'm one of the players, the next game can't come round quick enough. You're wanting to go out, and I mean, it's not my words, but Callum McGregor said embarrassing the boys there, McGinn. It's the gap between us and the opponents. They boys are saying it, so you're hoping that there's something there on Wednesday and we come out the traps.
I've got a sneaky feeling we'll get something against Switzerland.
So.
Typical Scotland, we'll get something against Switzerland and then it'll go all pear-shaped against Hungary. Something will go wrong, like against Morocco or something, when we need something from the game. But I think, I don't know why, but I think we've got something in us to get a result against Switzerland. And what gives me hope is Hungary gave me hope, because Hungary dominated Switzerland and Switzerland looked tired in that second half. And their third goal was a breakaway goal because the third goal
makes the result look a little bit more comfortable because,
yes,
if you're watching the game,
yes,
Hungary turned it.
Turned it around in that second half. And I thought
they were pushing for an equaliser.
Switzerland came out the traps. They were very, very good, but I thought they tired in that second half, to the point where I thought the only team that's going to score here is Hungary. Okay. But because Hungary threw everything at it in the last 2 minutes, they got done on a counter-attack. So for that reason, the second half gives me hope that Scotland can get a result against Switzerland on Wednesday. So as we already said, Stephen Mill is not with us today for the big Scottish football podcast because he is currently in Liechtenstein for a couple of days' visit before heading back to Germany and heading to Cologne for Scotland versus Switzerland on Wednesday night. And I think we can now cross live to Stephen in Liechtenstein. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, Stephen.
Good afternoon, good afternoon. Simon, how you doing? You all right?
All good.
Look at the view. From Liechtenstein.
I'd much prefer to be where he is just now. That looks lovely.
Aye. I mean, I will say the view's quite good. That is Liechtenstein there. So we're just at the sort of top of a mountain in a wee lodge somewhere. So, yeah. Up to Cologne tomorrow. I don't think the view will be quite as good in Cologne tomorrow, but it's quite nice, isn't it? It's not bad.
So we were speaking on WhatsApp yesterday, and he was sending us some of the pictures, and straight away I was on to booking.com, I was on to Jet2 Holidays to have a look at how I get to Liechtenstein.
How far is it from how far have you travelled?
Yeah, how far have you travelled?
So it's about 2.5 hours from Munich, so it's actually not too bad. We just rented a car. And I drove down yesterday, And it's a wee bit of a trek back up to Kelowna, so it's 6 hours drive tomorrow, so that's going to be a bit bullish. But in terms of like where it is, like literally, like I'll just give you a wee bit of geography. See the sort of river that's there.
Yes.
Like, see that river?
Yes.
The other side of that river is Switzerland. So it's literally, it's tiny. It's so small. We're going on a tour later on today, and the complete tour of Liechtenstein takes less than half an hour. So that's how small it is. It's really nice.
I said to my wife, we need to go to Liechtenstein, and I showed her the pictures that Stephen had sent us, and you have to fly into Switzerland, like into Zurich, and get the train across, because I didn't know this, Stephen, but Liechtenstein doesn't actually have an airport.
Liechtenstein does not have an airport, no. I mean, it's literally on the side of a mountain. Like, this is all there is to it. I think there's, like, where I'm sat just now, like, there's mountains across there, which are, that's Switzerland, and then if you go that way, that is, like, still Liechtenstein, but it's just all mountains, so there's nothing there, really. So it's just literally what you can see just now. Vaduz, which producer John will know, because he's a Falkirk fan, they had a trip into Europe, and John, how did you get on with that trip in Europe playing Vaduz? Did you win?
I take it was a bad night in Europe for Falkirk when they were in Vaduz, Liechtenstein. All right, I'm moving on. Stephen, you were in Munich on Friday night. You watched the game. Simon and I have just been discussing it, and it's not nice to look back on. What do you want to say about it? And we'll look more towards Wednesday with you.
I just thought that, you know, I'll start with the positives, which was everything apart from the game, because... honestly, it was such a good day. It was unbelievable being in Munich. Marienplatz, which is the main sort of square there, was absolutely rammed. It was like 150,000-200,000 Scotland fans there, and honestly, it felt like a home match at times. Before kickoff in the stadium, it was unbelievable. The atmosphere was incredible. The German fans were brilliant as well. They had a really nice tribute to Franz Beckenbauer before the game and stuff as well, which was nice. It was just absolutely brilliant. And then the referee blew his whistle for kickoff, and it was, I think, probably pound for pound, one of the worst Scotland performances that I've ever seen. I mean, and I've seen, like, speaking of Liechtenstein, I watched us get a last-minute goal against Liechtenstein to beat them 2-1 under Craig Levein, and Stephen McManus scored. And I mean, that was an awful performance, but it was so bad. Like, the actual performance was, I wouldn't give pass marks to anyone, I don't think. I just thought it was woeful from start to finish.
I spoke to a few people who are in Germany and who had tickets for the game, and most of them, the vast majority of them actually, Stephen, left the stadium and went back to their hotel because they were just so scunnered. They couldn't face going into Munich. They couldn't face going out for a drink or anything. What did you do after the game?
I went straight home. Yeah. There was a shuttle bus. I've seen lots of people complaining about getting out of the stadium, but we actually were okay. We probably waited for about 20 minutes or something, but, you know, there's 70,000 people there, so you're expecting to be busy. So we just jumped on a shuttle bus, and then I just got on the underground and went straight home. I was, I was the same as you. I was just totally scunnered. Like, I couldn't bring myself to go out and have a party after it. And I know lots of people did, and that's fine. If that's how you want to deal with stuff like that, but that's just not me. I'm very much like, I was so deflated after it. And, you know, I just had to go home. I was just like, I'm not interested in going out and partying or anything like that. I just need to go to my bed and just quietly stew and get angry myself. And then get over it, have a sleep. So, yeah, I mean, listen, we're a few days on for that now, obviously. And like we said on last week's podcast, Ewan, didn't we, that we didn't think we were going to get anything for the Germany game. That doesn't take away from how disappointing the performance was, but at the end of the day, we didn't think we were going to get anything, and it's all going to come down to these two matches.
Yeah.
And if we get 4 points, we'll be through the next round, and I think a big performance is needed tomorrow and Sunday, but it's doable, and I think we've got the players still to do it.
Stephen, before we talk about Switzerland, I've got to say, your football club, Dunfermline, put on a spectacular show on Friday night at the Dunfermline City Fan Zone at East End Park. It was a sellout. 3,000 fans turned up. The big screens were on the pitch. Definitely Oasis performed. They were brilliant. They were on stage. All the stuff they had set up for the kids, the food that was available, there was the beers were flowing. Listen, I like to wind you up about Dunfermline every now and then, but I've got to take my hat off to them and give them a big round of applause, because the setup in Dunfermline on Friday night was superb. So well done to your club.
Yeah, I mean, I've been speaking to a couple of the guys who were organising it, and they were delighted with the way it went. You know, I think nearly 3,000 people there, and the fact that you were there and people still turned up is amazing. So, you've got a former Dunfermline player in the studio today with you, Simon Donnelly, of course, former East End Park favourite. So, listen, he knows all about it as well.
Fantastic! You raved about it. Eh?
I've been raving about it all morning. Are they doing that for
All three games, right?
I mean, I don't know what happened with the Hungary game, because if we don't get anything against Switzerland, the Hungary game becomes...
It's a great thing, and that's why we're all excited with us getting to this Euros. But once we're there, we don't want to just be making up the numbers. We want to be, as I say, the celebration of the goal the other night. All right, it was a wee bit kind of tongue-in-cheek with the Tartan Army. We want to be celebrating goals that are meaningful and winning games and winning points, and giving us something to kind of be optimistic about to get out of the group.
You're totally right. And you see some of the other matches that have happened so far.
Yeah.
You know, Albania got their moment against Italy, albeit they still got beat. You know, there's other matches that I've seen as well. It seems that everyone's got at least a moment so far.
Yeah.
And we've not had ours yet.
I think,
you know, like looking at Albania the other night as well, like Italy were the better team.
Yeah.
But Albania had a go and had them, you know, the last sort of 10, 15 minutes on the rack a wee bit. And obviously, you know, they had that amazing moment after, 23 seconds or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I just wish we had something like that the other night. I'd have taken that and still getting beat. It was just so disappointing all round. But, you know, as you say, I'm sort of a wee bit fed up of, as you say, Simon, just... we've qualified for the tournament. We're here just to have a laugh. You know, we've got decent players and we've got a decent squad. We should be aiming to actually do something.
See, when it comes to Albania, and Stephen just touched on it there, I thought they were very good against Italy. And I think, and Scotland could actually take inspiration from the way that Albania went about their business against Italy. And as I kind of said a few minutes ago, Donnarumma's save in the last minute where he hits his hit or his 2-2.
Never even get the corner, did they?
Didn't even get the corner for
it.
But I mean, Slovenia against Denmark as well were very good. And I think that Scotland can look at that. Listen, I think we'll still get something against Switzerland. I think we can't be any worse than we were against Germany.
I think we're deflated just at the nature of the defeat. I don't think any of us really expected.
No.
And I said to you off air, the Germans, they could go the full way. People are saying we don't know how good they are because we didn't really compete, but I think they're a top team.
They are a top
team. So let's look at the next two games and have a go at it.
So, Stephen, you're going to be heading to Cologne. You're going to be there on Wednesday night for the game against Switzerland. We cannot afford to lose this game. Are we getting something from it that keeps the Sunday game alive for us?
I think we do, yeah. I mean, Switzerland did look pretty handy against Hungary, particularly in the first half, I thought. They're a decent side, so it's going to be a difficult match. But I think with Switzerland winning that game the other day, they'll be thinking, well, a draw isn't a bad result for us. So I think maybe with 10 minutes to go, if it's 1-1 or it's 0-0 or whatever, they might be quite happy because 4 points will get you through.
Yeah.
And that will be Switzerland's aim as well. And then, you know, I would take a point on Wednesday and I would take it all down to Sunday, because you're assuming that Germany are going to be hungry, because, you know, I agree with Simon. I thought, like, we were obviously rotten on Friday, but I thought Germany were outstanding. Like, Musiala was unbelievable. Wurz, I thought, had a great game. Toni Kroos, I thought they were pretty solid at the back. Rudiger and guys like that as well. Like, they could be a really, really strong contender, I think, despite the fact that they were playing a pretty poor Scotland side on Friday night. So I think in terms of Wednesday, I would take a point right now. I'd absolutely take a point, and I'd take it all down to Sunday, and I think we're capable of beating Hungary. And then if we get 4 points, we're through. like, you know, yeah. we're through, yeah. which is the aim. So that's what I think and hope will happen.
I agree with Stephen. I think we get a draw on Wednesday. If we get a win, wow. I mean, amazing. But I'm with Stephen. As long as we take it to the last game,
yeah.
And I'm again with Stephen, and I'm agreeing with him, which is not often. If somebody said to me right now, I'll give you a 1-1 draw, I am biting your hand off for that and having a cup final against Hungary.
Yeah,
because Hungary, depending on goal difference and everything, they might see a win for them and 3 points as being enough to get them into the knockout stages. So, yeah, I would love to take it down to Sunday. And let's hope we do. And a nation gets behind it, and the optimism builds as well.
Down there, like I said, the Spain result, and we beat Denmark at Hampden as well. See, we need a performance like that. These boys have showed before. I know we're not in a great run, and as I say, Friday night really deflated us all, but I think is there a performance in there?
Yes.
We need one.
Oh, no, we've definitely got it. Stephen, do you make many changes? I mean, Simon and I have already gone through what we would do on Wednesday night in regards to our starting 11. I was suggesting a 3-5-2 with Robertson and Forrest in the midfield, as in wing-backs, as in midfielders, with McTominay, Gilmore and McGinn in the middle of the park, and Shanklin supporting Adams up top. Would you make any changes, any dramatic changes or change of setup formation? What would you do?
Nah, I wouldn't change as much as that. I would, obviously, Porteous is going to be out, so
Hanley come in.
I think probably Hanley comes in. And then I think Gilmore comes in at the middle of the park, probably Christie drops out. So I think that will be the two changes. He might play Shanklin for the start. I actually felt a bit sorry for Shea Adams the other night. Like, yeah, he didn't actually do much because he was having to deal with a lot of long balls as well. And then the second half was a training match pretty much. But even in the first half, like, he got zero service. I wouldn't put too much blame on Shea Adams, to be honest with you. But yeah, I think I agree with what Simon said there. Like, I think a sort of Denmark level performance at Hampden, that's what we need. We need aggression. We need a wee bit of power in there as well. We need to be able to keep the ball, because we just couldn't keep the ball on Friday night at all. And I think Gilmore will 100% play. I don't see him not playing Gilmore. But I wouldn't imagine there'll be too many changes. And you know, I think probably deep down, or not deep down, but I think inside the camp, they'll have been looking at these two matches in particular, and they'll have a plan as to how they can, you know, get the 4 points that they need, hopefully. I think two or three changes, and I think he'll stick with the same formation, to be honest with you.
Your lovely wife, Anna's just messaged me to say, do you want to get him off the fucking podcast because we've got a trip to go on?
yes. We do need to go on a trip. We need to get down to the mountain, the bottom of the mountain, to go on the trip.
Stephen Mill in Liechtenstein for a couple of days before heading to Cologne. Mate, when are you back?
Next Wednesday morning. So I'll speak to you next Monday on the podcast, depending on the result on Sunday. We'll see what happens.
No. We'll definitely speak, because we'll be looking forward to our last 16 game.
True. That's a good point. That's a very good point, actually. So, right. Okay. I'll let you go and enjoy your Scotty brand crisps. They're amazing, with a bottle of beer. Get them at your local Morrison's, and they come in three fabulous flavours as well. Is that right, producer John? You happy with that?
Thank you, Stephen.
Stephen, have a good one. Safe journey home, my friend.
Right. Cheers, guys. Thanks very
enjoying
much.
It.
Cheers,
enjoy.
Bud. So that's Stephen Mill there in Liechtenstein, off for a wee day trip before heading to Cologne for the Switzerland game on Wednesday night. Right, producer John, see, before we get to in the bin, Scottish football in the bin, could you come through here? Can you put the camera on wide shot for the people watching on YouTube?
Okay.
I want you to come through here. I've set up a microphone in the chair for you, because I've got a little game for you and Simon Donnelly to play. I picked this up on Twitter the other day there. So you and John are going to become teammates, and you need to figure this out. Where is producer John? And apologies to the people on YouTube, are going to have to look at producer John's face.
This is what
the Falkirk fan looks like. There he is.
Hi, everyone.
Right, put the microphone in front of your face.
I know how microphones work here.
I know how. I'm just checking.
I've been in this game long enough.
Right,
yes.
John, you'll need a pen and paper.
Oh, for goodness sake.
No, I'll give you this.
Right, thanks. There we go.
Right, you take
that.
Okay, so I found this on Twitter the other day, and I thought it'd be quite good to play. Are you ready for this?
What is it?
So between yourself and Simon Donnelly, Mm-hmm. Right? The 10 most popular sports in the world.
Right.
The 10 most popular sports in the world. From 1 to 10. Let's see how many of the 10 you get. So, and I'm going to put 5 minutes. Hold on.
Are we playing together on this?
You're playing together as a team. Wait. Let me get 5 minutes on the clock. Hold on a wee second. So I'm going to put a wee stop clock on you. I'm going to give you 5 minutes. Hold on a wee second. Let me get my clock up. And we will play this little game. And your 5 minutes starts now.
Right.
We'll football.
Football.
Number one. It's got 3.5 billion fans.
Basketball.
Basketball is number seven. Write these down.
Right, okay.
Basketball is at number seven with 800 million fans.
Cricket.
So, cricket is the second most popular sport on the planet.
Good shout, Simon.
With 2.5 billion fans.
Not a fan, but not
baseball.
One of
them. Baseball.
Big in Japan.
It's huge, and it is big in Japan. Baseball's at number eight on the list. 500 million fans. Can you also number them? Because I'll forget what you've got.
I forgot. Right, okay.
So football's number one.
Cricket's two.
Cricket two.
What's basketball?
Basketball seven. Baseball eight.
Right. Okay.
So you are already used up a minute of your five.
American football.
American football. You will be shocked to learn it is not on the list of the top 10 most popular sports in the world.
Tennis.
Tennis, number four.
Right.
1 billion fans. Oh. 1 billion fans. So you've got one, two, and four. You're missing number three in the top five. You're missing number five.
Is golf there?
Golf is there, number 10. Golf is 10. There
we go, doing all right here.
So is that you halfway through?
Six.
You got six. You need to get four more.
Right. Okay. There's going to be the reason he's given us this list.
There's something ridiculous
in it that it'll be at like number three that we won't think about. So I'm going to put one out there, Ewan. I'm going to say badminton.
No.
Nah.
Formula One.
No.
Is that classified as a sport?
Yes.
Would something like snooker and darts be included as a sport in
this
list?
Yes, but there's neither.
No,
neither.
But it would be something like that, be included as a sport. Okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
But that's not in your top 10 most popular sports in the world. So you've got six of the 10. You've got football, basketball, cricket.
I'm going to say rugby.
Baseball, tennis, and golf.
But I'm not too sure if it'll be there.
Rugby number nine.
Is it right?
Okay. Number nine. 475 million fans. That's at number nine. So you've got seven of the 10. And you have 3 minutes to get...
To get the other three.
To get the other three.
It's like a full-time and scoreboard. It's going to
be the third. We've not got the third.
That's right.
Well, yeah, what's the third most popular sport on the planet?
Rugby league won't be there if rugby's nine.
So you're missing three, six, and...
Cycling.
No.
Three, six, and...
You're missing three, five, and six. The most popular sports in the world, you've got seven of the 10.
Table tennis.
Number six.
Yeah.
It's number six. 850 million fans. You remember, it's very popular in the Far East.
I knew there would be one like
tennis.
That.
Table tennis, yeah. It's at number six.
Right, here we go. Outside the box here, right? I'm just looking at the size of the country.
So you're missing three and five.
Kabaddi.
No. Kabaddi's a great show, but it's not kabaddi.
Right, think that.
That's where
like
I get
Indian, Chinese.
So you're missing. Yeah, I can't believe you haven't got three or. Well, five's a difficult one, I think, but three, I'm really surprised you haven't named yet.
Athletics? Nah.
You've got football, cricket, tennis, table tennis, basketball, baseball, rugby, golf. You're missing two, three, and five of the most popular sports in the world. And you are down to your last 2 minutes. You're down to your last 2 minutes. Third most popular sport in the world has 2 billion fans.
Sailing.
No. Sailing. 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 2 billion fans love sailing.
Not necessarily say that was three. It could have been five.
Right. At five, it has 900 million fans.
900.
Right, so I've done all the American ones. So baseball, NFL... Basketball, that's the three big American ones.
You're down to your last minute and a half to get the final two.
I think South America.
I'm genuinely surprised you haven't named number three yet.
Volleyball?
Number five.
Oh!
900 million fans. Yes. Remember, that's a huge sport in South America, etc., etc.
And one, three, and we should get three.
You should be able to get three. I'm surprised you haven't. And you are down to your last 30 seconds.
Come on, let's do this.
The third biggest sport on the planet with 2 billion fans. You got football, cricket, blank, tennis, volleyball, table tennis, basketball, baseball, rugby, golf. 20 seconds.
John, come up with another one. You produced table tennis and volleyball.
What could it be?
What could it be? Ten, nine, eight, seven.
Ice hockey.
Ice hockey, what a shout. He's nailed it.
Is it?
No.
Hockey, hockey.
Your time's out.
Oh, no.
What was it? It was hockey.
Oh.
It was hockey. It wasn't ice hockey. It was hockey. Hockey. Your time was up. You've just
hockey's
missed.
Hockey's the third biggest sport in the world.
The world, 2 billion fans. Oh, wow. 2 billion fans. Mate, you said ice hockey with 3 seconds to go. And then hockey was after the time was up. You were so close.
Hockey.
Hockey, yeah.
That's decent effort though, Simon.
Yeah,
decent
well effort. Done. The three, hockey at number three, 2 billion fans. Tennis, 1 billion. Volleyball, 900 million. Table tennis, 650 million. Basketball, 800 million. Baseball, 500 million. Rugby, 475 million. Golf, 450 million. Football, clearly at the top, with 3.5 billion fans.
There you go, right. Bro, can I go back to my basement
you
now?
You can go back to your basement, mate. But good effort.
Was that all right?
That was a good effort. I mean, getting table tennis and volleyball.
I'd never have went for either of them.
I do like playing table tennis.
I like table tennis, yeah.
Have you tried all those sports?
Let me see.
Did you ever play rugby?
Only at school. I was too small for rugby. Too rough for me, that one. Volleyball on the beach, maybe. Tennis. I love tennis. Golf.
Are you back in position, John?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Shall we put something in the Scottish football
Let's
bin?
Let's do it.
Get ready to open the big Scottish football trash can. It's in the bin.
Yep, Scottish football bin. What goes into the bin? It's our version of Scottish football's Room 101. We suggest something we want to see put in the bin, and it's up to you to decide if it goes in or not. Last week, listener Adam suggested that referees not giving early bookings should go in the bin. What is that about referees who don't want to show an early booking, but for a challenge similar after half an hour, you'll give a yellow card?
Yeah, it should be regardless.
Just referee the game, referee whether it's the first game. Minute or the 90th
yeah,
minute.
I think so. Yep.
So he wanted that in the Scottish football bin. Give me the drum roll, please, producer John. And 78% of the vote want it to go into the Scottish football bin. The fans agree with you. Well done, Adam. And since Simon Donnelly is new to the show this week, let's get a nomination from Simon. You got any idea of something you'd like to put in the Scottish football bin?
I was thinking about it. I've got a couple that kind of...
Go on.
So, see when somebody gets in front with the ball in front and just falls down, the referee feels obliged to always give a free kick.
Yeah.
That annoys the hell out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, when a keeper catches it, and then unnecessarily...
Falls to the floor.
They're both kind of similar.
They're both very similar. I'd go with the goalkeeper one. That enrages me. A goalkeeper who makes...
He catches it
in a cross.
And goes to the ground.
And then he throws himself to the ground just to waste more time.
Yeah, that's
definitely going to Scottish football bin. I think the fans will agree with you on that one. What about you, producer John? Is that one you'd put in the bin?
Oh, when the goalie kind of catches it and slowly falls.
Falls to the floor.
Get that in the bin.
Yeah, that's a good one, Simon. I do like that. You can go and cast your vote on our Twitter page, which is... What is our Twitter page?
At Big Scottish Football Pod.
See, I don't normally do this thing, sitting here and telling Twitter things and Facebook things. That's Stephen's job. I'm usually where Simon is.
At Big Football Scott, actually. I'm the producer and I should know that. At Big Football Scott is
How rubbish are you? Yeah. At Big Football Scott is where you go to cast your vote for that, for what's in the Scottish football bin. Thanks so much for that. Okay, let's get some of your reaction to that. No, we won't. Oh, do you want me to read all this out? Do you want me to read all that stuff out about the big Scotland football show?
No, you don't have to, but it's nice to say that the Super Scoreboard is still continuing.
Yes, it is.
During the Euros.
It is.
The boys are live in Germany.
They're it is.
Cologne.
Gordon Duncan, Mark Wilson and Gordon Deal, they're live in Germany for the entire time that Scotland are at the Euros. They're going to be there and they'll be broadcasting live from Cologne.
Go and try and see what pub they're broadcasting from in Cologne in a German accent, Ewan.
That can't be that, is it? They will be doing the show from the Tansbrunnen Rheinstein-Rindchen-Biergarten.
The Tansbrunnen Rheinterrassen in Biergarten in Cologne.
In Cologne.
It's down near the Rhine, obviously, and in Stuttgart.
A lot easier to pronounce the Stuttgart one.
The Stuttgart one's the Palm Beach Club. That's where they're going to be broadcasting from. So that's the boys on Super Scoreboard, which you can listen to on the radio and also get it on YouTube. The boys live in Germany with Scotland. And don't forget, the Big Scottish Football Show will be on as well on 4th on West FM, TFM, MFR, Northland 1 as we bring you coverage of Scotland's big game on Wednesday. And also on Sunday, we'll be live from East End Park from their Dunfermline City fan zone, which is superb. If you haven't got your ticket yet, go and get it because it's a great night out for the family. That's happening on Wednesday night everywhere else. Okay, are we ready to do our next thing, which is... Oh, do I have to do this or are we getting Simon to do it? Am I doing it?
You have to do it.
Oh, do I have to do it? So I'm going to stuff my face with some Scotty brand chips, beetroot chips, Thai sweet chilli flavour today. And you need to name the European player. Football. The players are at the Euros... And if you do get two out of the three, I'm going to give you a packet of beetroot chips from Scotty Brand. Are you ready?
Go for it. For God's sake.
Who came up with this game? Oh, wow, awesome.
Have you started? Fucking hell, what was that? Don't it spit over me. Go again. Oh, say it again. Jude Bellingham. Oh dear.
Like Taiwan.
Nice.
Eh?
Ah, they're nice.
They're beetroot.
Lovely.
Imagine that with a cold bottle of beer.
Tasty.
Mmm.
Right, go for it.
Hold on.
Try not to spit over the desk. Go again. No way. Go again. Almost. Say it again. What country does he play for? Germany.
Uh-huh.
Say it again. Wurz. Wurz. I don't know his first name.
Florian.
Oh dear. Is that my crisps? Yes.
Beautiful. Hey, I'm hanging with you. I'm not doing the third one. Nearly choking here.
Go and do the third one.
Oh, really?
See if I can get a clean sweep.
Are you ready?
That's the packet gone. Was that it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Donnarumma.
Oh,
that'll do me for Wednesday night.
I've just knocked all the piss on the floor, John. John, have we got a Hoover in here?
Yes, Ewan, we've got a Hoover.
We're going to get the Hoover in here. Piss for everywhere. And Simon's going to need a shower. That's spat all over him. Sorry about that, Simon. It wasn't me that came up with that game. It was bloody John.
He's played that every week.
Aye, every week. We take it turns each. So if you come on here next Monday, guess what you're doing? You filled your face with crisps.
Oh dear.
Right. Oh my God. Look at the state of this place. Right. Right. Oh, we playing the quiz.
Yeah.
Right, it's a Euros quiz. I'm up against you, Simon Donnelly.
Right.
It's the same five questions, John. Aye.
It's the same five questions. Simon is representing Stephen Mill. No pressure, Simon. Stephen is currently after the split, winning 7-0.
7-0. I'm just looking at that. Yeah. Bit of pressure. Ewan's
pretty rubbish.
You took my pen, you thief.
Ewan's pretty rubbish at this game, so you should do okay. So it's very easy.
Yeah.
It's a penalty shootout style situation.
Okay.
You've both got to write down your answer. You've got 60 seconds to write down an answer, and whoever has the most at the end will win. If it's a draw, it will go to a tie-break situation.
Right, let's do it.
You ready, Ewan?
Yeah, question one, what is it?
Question number one, then. Oh, wrong music, there we go. Right, question number one, Ewan and Simon.
Uh-huh.
What type of animal is the Euros mascot Albert? Albert, what type of animal is the Euros mascot? 60 seconds to put down your answer.
Is it like a German national national animal?
I don't know what the German national animal is.
First thing I thought of was beaver.
It's not a beaver.
You're always thinking about beaver, you.
It's not a beaver.
Have you seen the...
I've not seen it. I've just guessed.
Right, okay. You've got an answer, Simon, yeah?
I've got an answer, yep.
Lion, tiger, bear, cat, dog. What could it be? Is it an animal?
Aye.
Parrot.
Don't get many mascots that aren't animals, really, do you?
Go for beaver.
I do. You sometimes get them.
Have you...
Sammy
have you,
the
I've got mine down, but you go for beaver.
I was known to in my younger days.
Right, Ewan, you got an answer? Stick down some down.
I've got
time run out. Right, okay, right, okay, right, okay. Right, Ewan, what have you went for?
I went for cat.
Cat.
What have you gone for, Simon?
I've went for lion.
You went for lion? They wouldn't do that because of England.
Ah,
good thinking,
right enough. Right enough. These are both wrong.
And Marshall has saved. Okay, let's try and work this out. Is it a bear?
It is a bear.
Oh no, that was my second guess.
It's a big teddy bear.
Oh no.
Big teddy bear.
Nightmare. Right, second question.
Right, second question. Who was Spain's first goal scorer against Croatia? Who was Spain's first goal scorer against Croatia?
I've got that.
Oh, he's both got it straight off the bat.
Oh no, watched it as well.
I've got it.
What, we got a minute?
You got some, you writing down some, Simon?
So he's got time.
Oh, he's got quite a time.
I love that he's struggling though.
I can't believe it. This is
an unbelievable position for you to be in.
I know.
It's usually you that struggles.
I'll tell you the reason why I know this 100% in a second.
I really hope you've got it wrong, Ewan. Simon, you got an answer?
No. Mind has went blank. I watched the bloody game.
Good game as well. I thought they were excellent. I thought Spain were superb.
What about that 16-year-old?
Oh, he's some player, by the way.
No, it's gone.
Totally gone. Write something down, Simon.
I've got it. Last minute.
No way!
Last minute! How could I have forgot that?
Right, okay then. Both got an answer.
Last second.
You go for first. What's your answer?
Striker.
Morata.
Simon, what have you written down?
Morata.
Yeah.
With 2 seconds to spare.
Yeah, you got Morata as well.
Both correct.
And do you know why I remember that very well? Is because I was on the radio when Spain were playing Croatia. And 2 minutes before he scored, I said on the radio live, you cannot win a Euros with Morata.
Brilliant.
There you go.
And then 2 minutes later, he scored.
Took it well. He took it well.
He did take it well.
The life of me couldn't think there.
There you go.
There you go. Both right then.
Yeah.
On to the next question. And your next question is question number three, which is, how many times have Germany won the Euros? How many times have Germany won the Euros?
See, I'm at a disadvantage here because I was working on Friday night, so I didn't hear the commentary. And I'm sure that they're probably mentioning the commentary. So he's got an advantage over me. And if he gets this right and I get this wrong, it's because he heard the commentary and he'd heard about their history and how many times they'd won the Euros and the last time they won the Euros.
Just write an answer down, Ewan.
No! That's an unfair question.
Changed my mind at the last minute as well.
Because you heard on the bucking telly, that's why. This is an unfair question. It's gone against me again because I was working and I wasn't listening to telly.
Football knowledge, Ewan.
Oh, shut with football knowledge. He bloody heard on the telly, I'm telling you.
Right, are you writing some down though, Ewan, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Simon's got an answer as well.
Yes.
Presumably.
I've changed it as well. Hope I haven't changed it. For the worst.
Ewan, you got us up then?
Yes.
Quick one now. Okay, he's ready to go.
Yes.
Right, okay. Right, Ewan, what have you written down?
Three.
You've written down three. Simon, what have you written down?
I changed from two and my answer is three.
Oh, he went for three as well. I'm
These
happy
are
with that.
Both. Correct.
Just as well, I changed it.
Right, 2-1. Well,
you're doing a lot
better.
It's
2-2.
It's 2-2.
2-2.
On to question four.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. Which city has hosted three previous finals? So obviously Berlin is hosting this year's final, but which city has hosted three previous finals?
I've got it.
Have you?
I think I have.
You've written down an answer, Ewan?
Yeah. I think I have. I think I've got it. I think I've got it!
He's struggling. I really hope you're wrong again, Ewan. Because
I think I've got it.
Certain.
I think I've got it. And I think he's struggling. I'm about to go 3-2 up.
I'm not so sure.
Right. Oh, you got an answer, Simon?
I've got an answer, yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
He was
okay.
Struggling. I could see in his face he's struggling. I've got this right. I'm pretty sure I've got this right.
Right, Ewan, what have you written down?
I've written down London.
And Simon?
London.
Oh, you...
Both written down the same answers, and you know what?
We're both wrong.
And Marshall is safe!
Is it both wrong?
Is it Paris?
Paris.
It is Paris.
Oh, no! Oh, I was going between London and Paris.
Wait,
you're on 96.
Yes, and the last one.
Was there not a one before that?
No, obviously not. I just kind of gambled that there was a... What was Paris then?
Oh, fuck, I was going to go Paris.
Paris did a couple of the earlier ones.
I nearly went Paris as well.
Ah, well, you didn't.
Sudden death.
Here we go, it is sudden
2-2.
Death.
2-2.
Here we go,
oh,
right.
Oh, no, the pressure.
Final question, boys.
Yeah.
Who are the only team in the Euros to ever score a silver goal? Who are the only team at the Euros to ever have scored a silver goal? Now, silver goal, if you remember...
Yes, I know.
To explain silver goal.
Silver goal, remember the golden goal was an extra time. We won the tournament straight away. The silver goal was if you
extra
scored
time.
An extra time, it would...
End the game.
The silver goal wouldn't end the game. The golden goal ended the game.
Yeah.
Silver goal, end it at the end of the extra time.
The first part of extra time,
Yeah.
And they're playing at this year's tournament.
I don't know if they... I think that's all been abandoned now. I think the silver and gold goals have all been abandoned.
No, I mean, the country's playing in the Euros just now.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's a clue I'm just giving you. I'm not giving you a clue.
Have you got this?
I think so.
Have you?
Time's knocking on here, Ewan. You got that? Write down something, Ewan, quickly.
Right, I've got it.
Right, here we go, sudden death.
Oh, God.
You and you were last minute, so let's go to Simon's answer first. What was your answer, Simon?
Portugal.
Portugal, you're saying?
Portugal.
Ewan, what's your answer?
I have gone for...
Germany.
Germany.
You went for Germany.
I thought maybe in the Czech Republic, but they're not there, are they? Are they at the Euros?
Aye, they're there.
Two different answers.
I thought maybe Czechia.
And Marshall has saved!
Who's from?
Yes!
The answer, and they aren't actually at the finals, is Greece. They won the silver goal, which means we are to a tie break after all of that.
Okay, tie break it is.
Here we go, right. And now this is your question. Closest two wins. Closest right two down wins. Your answer. Right. How many teams are eligible for the Euros? How many teams are eligible for the Euros?
How many countries are eligible to play at the European Championships?
Yep.
Okay, I've got an answer.
You've got an answer. Simon, you've got an answer?
God. Yeah.
Right, here we go then.
This
could be a monumental.
Not confident effort. At all.
This could be a momentous moment for you, Ewan. With Stephen in Stephen's absence, can you get a point on the board? Right, okay. Usually by this time, Simon, Ewan's left Aye. The studio. He's away up the road with his little bag in disgust.
I've made a game of it.
Right. Simon, what answer have you put down?
85.
85.
I've beat him. 100% I've beat him. There's no way,
Ewan,
that there's 85 teams, countries available to play at the Euros.
Right.
I think I am nearly on the button with that. 59.
59. One is.
I've won it. I have won
four.
It.
Four. Only four out.
I've won it. 63 then, isn't it? Or it's 56.
What did you say, Ewan?
I said 59. It's either 55 or 63.
Your maths is absolutely terrible, Ewan, but it's actually 55, so well done, you've won! I cannot believe it!
Sorry, Stephen.
Get it!
I cannot right believe it! Yeah. 55 countries are eligible.
85 countries in Europe!
55!
You need to leave the studio with your head held. I mean, head in hands, mate. That's embarrassing. You never did you ever do geography?
No, obviously not.
Clearly no. Well, in Stephen's style, I'd just like to thank my family for being there for me during these tough times in the last 10 months of playing this stupid quiz that we do every single week. But I finally got a point on the board because Simon Donnelly is absolute pish. Thank you, Simon Donnelly.
Where did I get 85 from?
You can come back anytime, mate. 85 countries in Europe. Jeez, oh. Yes, thank you to everybody who tunes in. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you to Simon Donnelly, who lost the quiz. And in doing so, let down Stephen Mill.
Yeah, I apologise to Stephen.
That's it. We'll be back on Monday. Hopefully talking about Scotland playing in the last 16 of the European Championships. I'll be back on Wednesday night on North Sound 1, 4th 1, etc, etc, with the big Scotland football show from 7 o'clock from Dunfermline. Clyde One Super Scoreboard on tonight from 6 with the boys from Germany. Take care. Goodbye. Thank you.
Can you believe that?